Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Disorder and foul practice, founded in jealousy and selfish ambition, flourishes within organizations. And as a result, instead of focusing on the mission of the company, employees waste a lot of energy competing with each other. In this episode of By Your Life, we talk about what to do when jealousy and selfish ambition have taken over. Welcome to the 182nd episode of By Your Life. My name is Lisa Hudiman, and I know that you have 100 different things you could be doing right now, so I thank you for choosing By Your Life. My goal is to inspire, empower, support, challenge, and encourage you to connect Sunday with Monday through Friday in a secular business world. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace. It's my desire to help you live our Catholic faith in the marketplace and to trust that it is good for business. I hope to offer you practical ways to go forth and glorify the Lord by your life. In this edition, we'll focus on the readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In the first reading from the Book of Wisdom, the wicked find the just one obnoxious. He's obnoxious to them because he opposes their actions and reproaches them for their transgressions of the law. This week, 11 U.S. senators sent a joint letter to Google's CEO asking why pro-life ads for abortion pill reversal were removed by the search engine giant. U.S. Senator Dave Daines, founder and chair of the Senate Pro-Life Caucus, demanded answers from the CEO of Google on Google's double standard in censoring pro-life abortion pill reversal advertisements while continuing to allow advertisements for deadly abortion pills. In the letter, the senator said, "Google's pro-life censorship is out of step with the science and reflects an unacceptable bias against pro-life views." The senators pointed out that Google initially approved LiveAction's APR ads, and they ran for over 4 months, spending over $170,000 and directing thousands of people to the APR hotline. On September 13th, Google unexpectedly shut down these ads without warning or evidence, citing its unreliable claims policy. Google has subsequently indicated that it took this action after reviewing a one-sided pro-abortion report provided by a left-leaning news agency. Google has also since stated that it censored APR ads because they made unproven medical claims, citing serious concerns from the pro-abortion American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. It is shameful that Google has acted to appease pro-abortion activists by silencing pro-life voices rather than considering all the evidence and following the science. Google has sided with the wicked. It appears that the wicked only support a woman's choice if that choice leads to the destruction of her child. But if a mother changes her mind and wants to make a different choice, she's obnoxious to them. The abortion industry reviles anyone who affirms a woman's choice for the life of her child, and it uses its power to squash their voices. In our second reading, St. James says, "Where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there is disorder and every foul practice." Google's actions this week were one example of a foul practice. But we also find this to be true in politics, in families, and in business. In my experience, disorder and foul practice that is founded in jealousy and selfish ambition flourishes within organizations. And as a result, instead of focusing on the competition outside the company, employees waste a lot of energy competing with others inside. Heck, even the disciples suffered from this problem. They argued among themselves about who was the greatest. Jealousy and selfish ambition disrupt teamwork, cause division, expand silo thinking, and ultimately get in the way of achieving goals. This infighting is quite common and takes on many faces. Sales wants to satisfy the customer's needs and then complains that operations can't deliver. Operations wants to deliver quality products and services, but can't when sales makes promises they can't keep. HR wants to invest in employees, but finance is cutting budgets. Finance wants to make sure the company is investing in its resources wisely, and it is hard to measure the ROI of soft HR investments. Customer service wants their request handled first, and manufacturing has 100 other customer requests prioritized. They are all complaining about how the other department is preventing them from accomplishing their own, perhaps selfish, functional goals. Or, as the first reading put it, they complain about how he sets himself against our doings. They are obnoxious to each other. Not only do different departments compete with each other, infighting occurs within work groups. I've had several different people tell me how they struggled in their job because they brought new energy, new methods, and new expectations to their roles, and their coworkers didn't like it. The old guard didn't want these people to work harder, be more productive, or deliver better results because it would make them look bad. Anyone who was trying to raise the bar met with resistance from those who wanted to get by doing less. Resistance is the main problem leadership faces when they are trying to create a cultural shift in an organization. I see it all the time. The interesting thing is, people actually want the new and improved culture the leadership is trying to create. They just don't want to be the ones who have to change. Or they're so busy pointing the finger at everyone else, they don't even realize they are part of the problem. So what can we do about it? First, if you are in a leadership position, it is your responsibility to make sure that everyone on the team is clear about your mission. In his book, The Culture Solution, Matthew Kelly says, "One of the biggest questions that every organization needs to answer, clearly define, continually remind every team member of, and over-communicate internally and externally is who or what is king of your organization." He continues, "Every organization has a king. In extremely unhealthy cultures, people don't know who or what is king from one day to the next." In the organizations he's involved in as a leader or owner, there are two sayings that everyone is used to hearing a lot. Number one, mission is king. And number two, Matthew is not king. Mission is king. Jesus taught his disciples about his mission, but they wanted to make him king. Jesus repeatedly told his disciples what his mission was. "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, he will rise." But they didn't understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They didn't understand their roles in the context of the greater mission. As a result, there was infighting as they discussed among themselves who was the greatest. When people don't understand or buy into the mission, they get possessive about their own functional areas and furthering their own agendas. As St. James wrote, "Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members?" When people are more passionate about their own agenda than they are the mission, they not only are likely to seek selfish ambitions, they tend to discount the value of the contribution of others. This leads to infighting. But as St. Paul wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I do not need you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I do not need you.' Indeed, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are all the more necessary." When we consider the parts in context of the body, we are able to appreciate their contribution and the value they bring to the mission. And when each person recognizes that they are there for the mission, only then can you begin to end the infighting. Again, as Matthew Kelly writes, "If the mission is not the most important thing, the organization will be repeatedly kidnapped by egos, career climbers, whims and fancies, and constantly be engaged in a massive game of organizational tug of war. However, the greatest organizations with the most dynamic cultures don't talk about work. They talk about mission. Men and women on a mission behave very differently than men and women who are simply going to work. In the scheme of our businesses, our mission is to serve our customers and to create an environment where our employees can thrive. Yes, each functional area is important, but only to the extent that it furthers the mission. If what you are doing or how you are doing it doesn't contribute to the mission, you should question why and how you are doing it. In the scheme of eternity, our mission is to become saints and help as many people as possible to do the same. Our mission is holiness and to help each other grow in holiness. St. James described for us what that looks like. He wrote, "The wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. When there is infighting, there is no peace. When there is infighting, there is no mercy. When there is infighting, there are no good fruits." If our work life is not leading us on the path to sainthood, we should question how and why we are doing our work. If our relationships are not leading us to holiness, we should question how we engage with others. There is plenty of room in our Father's house. Our goal should be to be the last one in and help as many as we can find the way there too. As Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Let us ask the Holy Spirit to help us grow in holiness and help others to do the same. Lord God, when the wicked try our patience, defend us. When they put us to the test, deliver us. Help us respond with gentleness, full of mercy, and with peace. Help us to bear good fruit, so that we may glorify you in all that we do. And may God bless you abundantly, and may you glorify the Lord by your life. If you like this episode, spread the word. You know what to do. You can forward, share, or click to post on our website at buyyourlife.com. Also, check out the resources page where you can find a link to the books and other resources mentioned in this and other episodes of Buy Your Life. And I'm always interested in what you think. So give me some feedback or just leave me a comment.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.